Friends, welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Vic at VWeb, Jack at Jack Not John, and today we're talking about all the drama involving Antonio Brown, college football, the U.S. Open, FIBA basketball, and more. But first, boys, how the fuck are you? Jack, we haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. It looked like you were gallivanting across the Middle East.
Yeah, I took a bit of a hiatus from the U.S., headed out to Morocco, which is in Africa, by the way.
Middle East?
Middle East, but I think it takes people some time to know where Morocco is. I just got on a flight, took some sleeping aid, woke up, and I felt great, and I awoke in Morocco, in Africa. So that was a shock to me.
They didn't tell you that when you got on the plane.
They definitely did. Well, what they did say was something in a different language, and I caught none of it.
Sounds like you were hijacked. Are you okay?
A little chas v'shalom on that one. But yeah, I feel great. Had a great, what was it, 4 days. I've spoken some of the most broken French, Arabic, Hebrew. I didn't even know I spoke French. I didn't even know I spoke Arabic. I was speaking this desert tongue for 4 straight days. I'm glad to be back. The food over there, but the wedding I was at, incredible. Great times, great friends. It was really something else. You could check it out on the Instagram feed. Is that what the kids call it? Instagram feed?
That's what they're calling it, but I'm laughing because you said that you broke so much, you spoke so much broken French.
Yeah,
and I was thinking
French.
The other day, because I was speaking to somebody who spoke Spanish, and I realized that when I speak to people that speak a different language, I just speak in a Spanish accent, yep, but speak English. I'm like, where is the fridge? But that is still, not only is that not even a Spanish accent, that's French. French.
By the way, it sounds like you're speaking my broken French.
Donde está fridge? Like, just because I say fridge doesn't mean that it's not still English.
Also, what was interesting over there is they assume you're Spanish. So everyone approached me. They look at me like, I'm a white Jew. They look at me, they're like, okay, he's not from here. Let's throw some Spanish at him.
Nice.
So I was hit with Spanish too. So I went through about 5-6 languages in these last couple days. Great to be back. Got back for, a little bit of NFL Sunday last night, but really great to be back. But I haven't seen you guys haven't really seen each other other than the NFL Schwitz week one. I listened to it overseas. What a blast.
We're trying, my man. We're trying, but if you didn't catch last week's episode, the NFL Schwitz now comes out every Thursday mornings, 7 a.m. That is an episode dedicated purely to America's sport that we all know and love.
Vic, solamente a NFL.
Yes, NFL. Yeah. By the way, we should do this in Spanish, too.
By the way, you go to Morocco, all of a sudden your Spanish you're brushed up on? Like, what can you do?
My French, by the way, I picked up a couple words over there. Don't test me, but my French is sharp right now.
Vic, I saw you were raging until the wee hours of the night.
Yeah.
Deep in
morning.
Brooklyn.
Wee hours of the morning.
Well, with the summer ending, it means one of the best venues in New York City called the Brooklyn Mirage closing down. Beautiful outdoor venue, a lot of music. So I had to get my last licks in.
Thank God.
Weather this weekend was amazing. Do you know that for the first time in my life, I put on long sleeves before the month of October?
Oh, my God.
Friday night, it was 66 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, people broke out leather jackets. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second.
It's
a little too early.
That's still t-shirt weather for you.
I tested in the waters. Apparently, I can survive with long sleeves if it's under 70 degrees.
You usually go t-shirt till about high 40s.
I do. Well, my rule is no long sleeves before October. I broke that. No jackets before Thanksgiving.
No kissing on the first date.
Right.
I love that. I know that if I walk into your apartment, you literally just have these rules on a whiteboard.
I mean,
Victor.
Everything
you can't put on that leather jacket yet.
It's in blood. It's written like in his own blood. Like, Victor, don't wear long sleeves.
I mean, but the thing that really is, I want to know, is what was Ben doing this weekend?
What wasn't I doing this weekend? One quick highlight. I was at a party Saturday night, Catch 8th anniversary party. Shout out to Catch Downtown. What a great club.
Wow, fashion week season.
Yeah, what can we do? And I happened to run into PJ Tucker of the Houston Rockets, Rudy Gay of the San Antonio Spurs, and Serge Ibaka of the Toronto Raptors.
All together?
Yes, all together.
Great
so apparently
trio.
They're friends.
That's a threesome.
And I just want to say, shout out to PJ Tucker. If you happen to listen to this, One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Did he tell you he listens to this?
No, but he told me that he liked my keto season sweatshirt, which I was wearing, which he did not need to do.
I mean, if the sneakerhead of the world is telling you he likes his keto season, I think you got to like work out some kind of maybe like Supreme like keto season kicks collab.
That's what
what was he wearing?
Yeah, what were
the
shoes?
Yeah, what was he wearing?
I actually didn't.
I knew you were.
I didn't see his shoes.
Fucking
suck, man.
God. I'm sorry.
I knew you weren't. Hey, PJ.
But it was a sick shirt.
Hey, PJ, I'm Ben.
You know...
Oh, thanks, PJ.
No,
you wear those cool kicks, right?
No, I probably was more like, yo, PJ, what's up? Like, I was trying to play really, really cool, but...
Fuck. What was he wearing? Can you guess anything?
I literally turned to Claudia and I'm like, the one fucking night I'm not wearing Gucci. The one night I wear no Gucci.
Cheers to that, bro.
Unbelievable.
One night you're not
one
wearing
night.
Gucci.
No Gucci.
Life is good.
Must be nice.
Throw us something.
Catch season.
What can we
do? Oh, what else did he do? What else? You hit catch. You saw. PJ Tucker, piss your pants.
No, and last night and yesterday I watched a ton of football all day long.
Who didn't? Besides Jack.
Went through a real roller coaster because I have Antonio Brown in all my leagues. And speaking of Antonio Brown, I think we should catch you up. Victor, you want to go through the timeline that is this Antonio Brown saga?
Yeah.
We're gonna keep it quick. You've 60 seconds on the clock. Catch us up.
Yeah, there was the cryotherapy episode with the frostbite on the feet.
Oh, God.
You had the helmet grievance, not once but twice, loses them both, starts a helmet company, apparently is killing it in helmet sales. Last week, fight with the GM. Then you get the Instagram post with the letter, devil is a lie,
whatever that meant. Devil is a lie.
Then Friday morning, you wake up, he's going to be off the team, we don't know what's happening. All of a sudden, in the afternoon, posts a phone conversation with John Gruden. It was a video with like a montage and clips.
So well done.
And it's like, okay, he's playing. If you have him in fantasy, it was saying 0 points projected, then 12, and then all of a sudden it went back down to zero because Saturday, boom, released. And here we are. Oh, and then the same day, what do you know? The New England Patriots, because they're dying for help over there after a Super Bowl. He's now on the Pats with Tom Brady.
For $15 million, which is...
So let's not jump ahead. I'd like to start this conversation with the news that apparently Antonio Brown hired a social media consultant to figure out how quickly he could get released from the Raiders. So I'd like to start this off with, Jack, do you think that everything that we've seen from Antonio Brown from... I'm sure cryotherapy was not intentional, but helmets, fighting, all of this, do we think that this was... intentional because he did not want to play for the Raiders and knew that he could leverage his social media to play for a different team?
When he signed with the Raiders, I was a little skeptical as to why he was doing this. I even told a couple people that I didn't think he'd play a single game for the Raiders. I did not think by any means this would unfold. I thought Antonio Brown was crazy at the end of last season. He's even more crazy than we even thought. So I never thought that he would go through this. I thought he'd somehow force a trade. Somehow there would be some conduct detrimental to the team. But never did I think this would be happening. I've also been monitoring like what Drew Rosenhaus has been saying and how he's been able to back up this absolute diva of his. I think now we see this was planned. When you go out and you hire a whole team who put together – literally an Oscar-winning short film. This is Kobe Bryant-esque.
Yep.
That was incredible. The black and white over the John Gruden conversation just hours after it happened. Even John Gruden applauded. I mean, he said this is one of the coolest. Like, just a fun fact to drop a little legal knowledge. California is a dual consent state for wiretapping. So John Gruden could have brought a claim against Antonio Brown because you can't wiretap somebody else against their will and then broadcast it to the public. So John Gruden thinking it's dope is not only John Gruden being the man, but John Gruden no longer having a claim. I mean, that's how good this video was. And John Gruden sounded like the fucking man.
Dude, it came out today. I don't know if you guys heard this, that Gruden was fine with it. They got it approved because, otherwise it would have been illegal. They got him. It's fully approved. Like
Oh, it was approved ahead of time.
Approved ahead of time, which makes me think even more that Gruden was in on it, and that doesn't necessarily make any sense. But this whole thing, and then Vic, I'm going to let you go. This whole saga just doesn't make any sense. The Patriots, you don't just have $15 million lying around ready to go within 20 minutes. I thought that he was going to get signed to a veteran's minimum and go somewhere.
All of a sudden,
he gets $15 million, and it came out today that he has a $20 million option for year two. So they're planning on keeping him.
Team option, he's going to play. Right?
Team option.
Okay, good. Yeah,
But, I mean, they're going to execute it. He's Antonio Brown, and it's Tom Brady. And
you see what they did with Josh Gordon last night, not to get off topic, but another disgruntled, troubled wide receiver. This team turns divas and issues around. I mean,
the phone call is sort of where everyone starts scratching their head, and it's, okay, like, you would only come out with this. I thought, like, he came out with the phone call to be, like, pumped up, like, Raiders football is going to be crazy. Like, I have him in one of my leagues, and, you know, like, obviously, I end up picking up, like, everybody on the Raiders roster, like, taking a chance.
Tyrell Williams?
No, he was drafted, but I picked up the tight end, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, the rookie. I was like, oh, somebody could be big
out of this. Renfrow's on the Raiders?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And Gruden loves him. If you watch
Still
Hard Knocks,
not
he loves
Clemson,
him,
huh? Couldn't get him for year 9.
Couldn't get him for year 9, which is real tough. But actually, the phone call was when, like, this is coming back. Like, maybe Gruden did it because he was like, I'm going to release this video. Like, I'm playing. Let's get the fans, like, excited. Like, you have to think of the time it is in Oakland right now. Like, the fans don't really care. They're going to Las Vegas. Is it next year? That beautiful stadium's going to be ready?
I think they extended one more year.
Like I thought, like, okay, like, fans are going to be pumped up. Like, this guy is playing for the Raiders. Like, this is legit. Like, it was Saturday. And then he just gets released. Done. Patriots. I mean, I guess Bobby Kraft always has the money laying around to pay him. When you're like, hey, they have $15 million lying around. He's one of the better owners out there.
The best. This is like the timing on this is just unbelievable. That's what it is. Like, unless it's pure colluding, like, if this was the NBA, they'd already be calling 100%. Out that this is colluding. But if this isn't colluding, then it is some of the best work by both Drew Rosenhaus. Shout out to him because he took a disgruntled client and made them a possible MVP for this year. Like, we can talk about that. But
on that point, he took a disgruntled client and made him happier by taking a $14.5 million haircut. So Antonio Brown just took 15 as opposed to the 29.5 mil he was owed by Oakland, and he's happier than ever. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus.
It was 29.5 over what period?
I think it was two years.
Okay, so he got a $5 million raise.
But he needs the option next year.
He's right?
I think that
leads like right
and to what Gronk said though about the Patriots. You know, no one's even a shoo-in. This team doesn't care about the name on the back of the jersey. It's all about the name on the front. If they find no use in a diva in Antonio Brown, however good he is. He's not going to be there next year.
Absolutely. And that leads perfectly into the next question. Are the Patriots the best team in football? Two-part question. Are they the best team in football? And how many wins do you think they get this year? Victor, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, so your receiving core was Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon. We all know the Josh Gordon saga. That's one for the ages. And a real true comeback story. If you listen to our bit about comeback player of the year situation, Josh Gordon's a candidate basically every year. Flash Gordon. The running back situation is incredible. The defense is what it is. You got Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. I thought they were already the best team in football. So, sure, you want to call them super team and Hamptons 5, Warriors vibes over here. This is way more dramatic than that. But I think they are the best team. How many games did they win? They smacked the Steelers the other night without him. It's funny coming full circle there with the whole Pittsburgh drama. They end up beating them the day after, and there were all those memes up where it was like the Roethlisberger Tomlin like laughing about everything. I think they get, I'm going to say 14 wins this year.
14-2.
Yeah.
Jack, you think they're the best team in football, and how many wins?
I do think they're the best team in football. Last night was really just super scary, especially as a Jets fan. I mean, I'm shitting in my pants. We're losing to the Bills, and I see the Patriots go out there without their best pass catcher and demolish a new look Steelers team. You know, no AB this year. They got Connor now as the full time starting running back. No Le'Veon Bell, you know, looming above that team. But I think 14 might just be high. I think they seem to drop one to an in division rival like randomly. I'm hoping that happens to be the Jets this year. I think it's got to be 12, maybe 13. They're super scary. I think maybe the defense has a couple holes, maybe the secondary, but they played really good last night too. You also forgot my boy Philip Dorsett.
Another weapon. How many guys?
I mean, this team just. But
they need.
They are. What's scarier is that in my mind, I think Gronk is just one call away. I think Gronk is on his way. He said, "If Tom Brady gives me the call, And I think Tom Brady gives them a call if they're in trouble or if they get gelling and they just need one more look. I mean, the one issue with these guys is they don't have that massive tight end option. I don't know who they pick up. Did they pick up Martellus Bennett or something?
No, but they have a
Michael Bennett.
No, but they have a 6'7" wide receiver in Demaryius Thomas.
But who's hurt now? He takes time to get used to the playbook.
Agreed. They could
use it. And he's been hobbled with ankle injuries. And I just think that's the one thing that this team doesn't have to the pass. But they've got more speed than they've ever had, and they've got more guys.
Yeah.
I mean, and Brady has not lost a step. And as Vic said, that running back core is so good. I saw a lot from Burkhead last night, and
Burkhead was the guy, so good, and that was the one guy people weren't talking about.
Exactly.
People were like Sony Michel,
so good.
You got him, James White. Everybody knows Tom Brady is obsessed with. Then they draft Damian Harris from Alabama. Hey, Ben, have we given you anything to say at this point about this team?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots are definitely the best team in football. I think that was a trick question on my end. I don't even think it's close. I don't think they lose a game. I'm going out and saying that they go 16-0, and here's why. There are a couple of things. The first is apologies to anybody who took my advice and pounded the Steelers +6 last night, because historically, if you look, the Patriots are not good in the month of September.
At least
the Patriots,
with the spread,
get off to slow starts.
And then everyone goes, have they lost a step?
Yeah, so you have. It's literally every single year. It's like, oh, is Tom Brady the same guy? Is it no? The Steelers just scored 3 points. 3 points. James Conner went top 10 in every fantasy league. This team is supposed to be potent offensively. They're missing Antonio Brown, that's for sure. And the defense was supposed to be good, and they got absolutely shredded. Absolutely shredded. I can't, like, those in-division games, usually Miami randomly gives them fits. Miami's the worst team in football.
Oh, my God.
Miami just lost by 60.
By a long shot.
49 they lost by.
59-10.
To the Ravens. So what is Tom Brady going to do to them next week? I can't imagine them losing a game. And Tom Brady is just showing me, it's not only that he's the best player of all time, he's the best teammate of all time. I don't know if you guys saw.
Awesome.
He reached out to Antonio Brown and said, "You
so
guys
cool.
can stay at my house." Like,
wait, was it? Do you think it was you guys? Because I heard
no,
you.
He said him and his family.
Really?
Yeah, I read that.
By the way, Tom Brady's so damn rich. That's
oh my
what that,
god, the
like,
richest.
Like such a homie, but
I'll
like,
buy you a home for
but
a bit.
But like, he's got another. Like, he's got like just his boy chilling in the crib. Also, it's better. Like 100%, Tom Brady's the man. Like. That's a very, like, Kobe, LeBron, like, you know, Hall of Fame, just utmost GOAT thing to do. But he's also keeping Antonio Brown out of harm's way. I mean, now, he's under a microscope. Brown is under the microscope.
He's very calculated, and he's very smart. Tom Brady
And he's a great teammate, because he gives up money, and he's the GOAT. Everybody wants to play with him. You don't hear a bad word about him. Do you mind if I just bring up a couple weeks of the Patriots schedule?
That is literally what I was
because,
about to say.
Because 16-0 is like sounds realistic after week one, starting week 7. So do we all agree that the Patriots tend to, you know, lose a little focus and drop an in-division game?
It's happened.
Early, usually.
Early. Okay, but now I'm starting a little later. We got week 7. Patriots come to New York and play gangrene, who will be very sharp.
On Monday Night Football.
Come around late October.
Good. So
then you got the Browns going to Gillette. But then you play that Ravens team in Baltimore. That's really tough.
That could be lost.
You tell me that's 10. Next week they go to the same Ravens team that I know it was the Dolphins. They're going into Baltimore. Okay, then they got the Cowboys coming into Gillette.
By the way, don't forget the team the week before. They got to go play the Eagles in the Super Bowl rematch.
Super Bowl rematch in
Philadelphia. That's another
just gets tough.
So I agree that those are a couple of tough games.
And then Dallas and Houston and Kansas City
and Kansas City.
If they can get through Houston. That stretch, though,
there's nothing.
Lord help anybody else.
What can they possibly do?
At Houston,
what can another team do that they can't do?
I don't know.
This is not a Patriots team. Usually the Pats eventually need to lean on their defense. And we just saw, like, last year, if you remember, their defense didn't wake up until, like, week 6.
The defense was really
good. The defense was untouchable last night. They knew every single thing that the running backs of the Steelers were going to do. Samuels last year shredded the Pats in those, like, screens, randomly went for 20 yards. Belichick is too good. What are they going to do against Lamar Jackson? They're going to shut him the fuck down. And I'm so high on Lamar Jackson. Everybody said I was wrong for drafting him in the Schwitz draft.
By the way, I wanted him.
The guy had 5 touchdowns.
He's awesome. He's a really good running back as a quarterback.
He's awesome. They're too experienced. They've played against Michael Vick. They've played against guys like this. This Dallas team looked great against the Giants. The Giants suck. The Eagles didn't look good against the Redskins. I know it's week one. I personally can't imagine them losing any of those games.
But you wouldn't be shocked. I could see them dropping like two. Dropping 2 to 3 of like this 8-week stretch, yeah. And that's all they're losing though, because the rest are the teams that they just, you know, they just wipe the floor with.
Do they ever play in Buffalo?
Well, yes.
Yes, obviously. That's towards the end.
That's actually the only game. That's so embarrassing
to us Jets fans, by the way.
That's the only game that I think...
I know, sorry. They're actually in Buffalo week four, so it maybe not be that cold yet.
Okay, so if it's not cold, then it's a different story, but there's always weird snow, Buffalo, but I think the second game of... Ravens Pats if they play each other back-to-back weeks.
No.
See that it's 1 week after the Browns go to Gillette, the Patriots then go out to Baltimore.
All right.
And then into Philly.
And then the Cowboys. I just think if a team doesn't get in the same hole that the Pittsburgh Steelers were in last night, where they could not rely on James Conner at all, it becomes a different story. Obviously, the Patriots put the Steelers in that hole.
And we know what the Kansas City Chiefs can do.
But that wide receiving core that the Steelers now have, I'm a huge Juju guy, but James Washington being number two, Moncrief was so bad, by the way. Awesome. The guy dropped every ball.
Every ball.
But sending your number two just you know, Washington, run down the field and I'll try. I just don't think that team is going to fare too well.
And we could talk about football all day, but that's what our Thursday episodes are saved for. So we're going to move on to college football. I want to talk about week two. What was the best and worst of week two? That's what we're going to talk about. So beginning, the college football AP rankings came out today, and they have in order Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma. Those are the top five. Vic, I want to begin with you. What is your college football AP ranking top five, and do you agree or disagree with this list?
I'm sort of fine. This list sort of does it for me already. You know, it's always so tough in the first week because, you know, the team that's 10th is also 2-0, and the team that's, you know, 20th is also 2-0. So it's tough to see. There, you can go off sort of the two games. Clemson obviously deserving that number one ranking. They, you know, handedly beat Texas A&M, who would probably the toughest non-conference game on their schedule. Alabama being Alabama, Georgia being Georgia. But LSU is a tricky one because they just beat Texas, a team that literally went from 10 down to 12 from that loss. It shows you what that says about LSU, and also what it says about Texas, but more so LSU. I think maybe you could make the argument that LSU is the best-looking SEC team because Alabama had a couple of cupcake matchups. But for the most part, I'm fine with this. Oklahoma right where it needs to be. Jalen Hurts looking awesome. Jack, what about you for your top five?
I was really impressed by LSU, what Joe Burrow's doing over there with this new look offense. It's awesome, and that's something that they've lacked in years past, what he's doing. He's slinging the ball like that high school prospect that he was. I mean, you could say Ohio State, they always like just run through teams. This team's outside the top 10, but I've been super impressed by Wisconsin. A couple cupcake matches, but they're always known for being a tough defense, and they're really slinging the ball. I mean, they put up like 61 again, and like last week it was like a high 40s. They're really impressive, and I'd watch out if I'm Michigan because that Army game was something they should have lost. Vic, you and I were texting like nonstop about it as I was in Morocco.
Jack was like getting ready for wedding. He's like, wait, is Michigan about to lose? I'm like, why are you texting?
Dude, I almost bought like ESPN Plus Morocco edition just to keep track of like.
You're like Windhorst. You hear about Windhorst?
What?
He's in China where he's like trying to get a free sling box so he can watch.
it's hilarious the shit we do. We're like this, but
literally one minute of sports
I'm watching and I keep saying wow, and my girlfriend's like, Jack, like, you're scaring me, we're in some country and you're making these like noises that I think somebody's intruding on our room. Oh my god,
when you actually call me because the Miami game went into the wee hours of your wedding
after the wedding, 6 a.m.
I was at a pregame with, and like someone saw you were calling, like, why does he even have a signal in Marrakesh right now to like call you?
I don't even know. I was whacked. But yeah. So I would watch out if I'm Michigan. The Big Ten is always tough and those teams always beat the shit out of each other. But I really like that LSU team. Saf, what do you got?
Sorry, I wasn't talking into the microphone. I agree with what both of you said. I happen to think that LSU should be two. I think that Clemson's got to be one because A&M is so fucking good and they really just handled them. So they go one. LSU is the best offense that I think they've had in recent memory. They usually lean on their defense, run the ball between the tackles, and Joe Burrow looks like he could be in talks for winning the Heisman. So I go Georgia two. I'm sorry, LSU two, Alabama three. They're not going to lose again. Georgia, Oklahoma. I mean, all these teams are amazing. The one team that I would say should jump up, and then I'll throw it back to you guys. I think that Oregon is awesome. I think that Hubert is amazing. I think the defense is amazing. They should have beat Auburn. It was a last-second Hail Mary. I think Oregon being at 15 is pretty insulting. They're definitely better than Wisconsin, who, to your point, had a couple of cupcake matches. They're definitely better than Texas, in my opinion. I'm sorry, anybody in the Pac-12, Utah, I just don't believe in you. Michigan, you should have lost. Florida, your QB sucks. I'm just naming a couple of teams. I think that Florida team
is tough. Watch out. Yeah. All right, they beat some pretty good teams.
They are.
Yeah. They beat that crazy Hurricanes team.
The Hurricanes and UT Martin.
Yeah. I think Oregon's awesome. Vic, who do you have that should jump up?
I would, since you mentioned Oregon, I actually think Auburn maybe is, I mean, Notre Dame's 1-0. Auburn's 2-0. I don't understand how Auburn, who beats Oregon, and if the experts agree with Ben that Oregon's that good, then Auburn should have a nice look at that win as, you know, solid, as the only good Pac-12 team out there, because Washington is just garbage. And they lost to Cal at home, which is just crazy. And you can see they're out of the top 25 at this point. So, yeah, my one team would be Auburn. I think they're at 8 now. I think you could really jump them up to 7. You could even say 6, better than Ohio State, who didn't look too good in week 1, but definitely handled Cincinnati. Jack, What's the one team you got on here should be either higher or lower?
Higher or lower. I mean, I do have that Michigan team. I just don't believe in them at 10. Utah, I just think them being there is a little scary. That their defense is really good. This Utah team is for real. Oklahoma's at 5, but I think that defense is different than we've seen in years past. You got Jalen Hurts, and now what you've seen them through 2 weeks of football, the defense is different than it was last year. That gave up 50-plus points to shitty teams. I'd watch out for them. But that top five is so good. I mean, maybe I would swap Georgia and Oklahoma. I think I might have Oklahoma at 3.
And someone who, out of the top 10, jumping into the top 10, who moves up for you, Jack?
I got Maryland Terps, like a team that's in the early 20s. What they've done through 2 weeks, I got to hand it to them. They spanked a ranked Syracuse team. They're now 21. That offense is fire. They just took the coordinator from Alabama. He's now the head coach. Name escapes me, but that team's for real. Top 10, probably no, but I just watch out. They're super fun to watch. Really good running game and a young quarterback.
Heisman Trophy watch. Some teams have really impressed in – you don't impress without having an unbelievable quarterback or Heisman candidate. So, Vic, I'm going to throw it to you. We have a couple of odds. We have some odd sheets. Who would you suggest our listeners bet on to win the Heisman Trophy?
At this point right now, Jalen Hurts looks insanely comfortable with that Oklahoma offense. And if they can beat Texas, and this is sort of my, you know, toss up a coin, like Sam Ellinger's got some great odds, quarterback for Texas, plus 2,500. I'd say you put a bet on both of them, because whoever wins that big rivalry Oklahoma-Texas matchup, the team's going to be either – Oklahoma's basically going to seal their place in the top five, because it's always an early matchup. I think it's coming up in a couple of weeks. And if Texas can do it – I mean, look how much respect Texas is getting with that loss. They only dropped 2 spots after a loss to LSU, so that's really their only loss. They win out, and if they win out, it's going to be because of the play of Sam Ellinger. The kid takes hits after hits, and, you know – a lot like Lamar Jackson, who really
hits
just tucks
after
and
hits
runs.
After hits.
Jack, who do you got for Heisman watch?
As we were talking before we hopped on the mics, I really like Joe Burrow. I love Jonathan Taylor, the running back at Wisco. But I think you got to be foolish to think it's anybody but Trevor Lawrence. I think this Clemson team is going to do it again. As Ben said, winning brings glory. And I just think at the end of the day, Trevor Lawrence is about to heat up as they get into conference play, as games get a little more meaningful. Dabo has to throw everything out there. I think it's Trevor Lawrence's to lose. I think Jalen Hurts is such a good story, but once they play some real teams like Texas, it's going to be a little more difficult for him to rely on the run. And I just think Trevor Lawrence, sophomore, I think he's my Heisman. Soph.
I'm going to go with two. So I think that you'd be a fool not to put some money on Jalen Hurts. The fact that he's 7-1, Oklahoma has back-to-back Heisman trophies going to their quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts looks insane. That offense is on another planet. I think that, and I messed up his name before, I said Hubert. It's Justin Herbert.
I was going to chime in, but I kind of thought it was funny that you went with Hubert.
I don't know why I thought Hubert.
I thought maybe you're going to give like a French pronunciation, like Herbert.
Hubert.
Etienne. Travis Etienne.
Hubert. But I think that Justin Herbert of Oregon at plus 2,500 is a really, really great bet. Nobody wants to talk about, and as I just said, they're, what are they, 15?
But if they lose again, he's off. And this Pac-12 team, this Pac-12 conference is...
Which is why I'm saying 25-1.
Contingent on running the table, winning out.
2,500. Shred plus 2,500. Yes, Herbert. For sure. But $100 gives you $2,500. And Herbert, they're, for whatever reason, Oregon is 15, as I just mentioned. They just beat Nevada 77-6. No, but listen to me, because Jack gave me a face, so I know you guys can't
classic,
see that.
That's your classic week two
fuck the Wolf
non-power five.
Yes, but this Nevada team just beat Purdue, and Purdue is not a bad football team.
They're
not. They're 1-1. Purdue. All right, fine. But
I like it because he is the number one pick right now in the NFL draft.
It took Herbert 26 throws to have 5 touchdowns. Let's not ignore this Ducks offense that's fucking amazing. Their defense is amazing. They almost beat Auburn. That was a really tough game.
Mario Cristobal.
They could run the table. And then if they run the table and he keeps throwing the ball like this, I'm just saying he's someone that maybe you should look
definitely
into.
Definitely. I like that.
Looking at next week. Week 3. I can't believe they're already at week 3 of college.
Well, college had a week 0, so they've got a leg up on everybody.
That's true, but I want to go around. We're doing really a round table.
I know. By the way,
it's pretty nice.
Even though we're not at our usual round table today, we're at more of a
round table discussion on a rectangle.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It goes me to Victor, Jack to me. It's very nice. I want to go through, we handpicked 5 games this week, I'm not going to lie, not the strongest week in college football, but we handpicked 5 games. We're going to talk about some spreads. I'm going to go around in the other
way. Can I recommend something?
Yes,
maybe,
you can.
Maybe to the listeners, save your bounce Saturday for another Saturday.
Totally.
It seems like this is more of like, hey, you know what? I want to head back to my parents' place and munch on their couch all Saturday.
This is honestly a great weekend.
Play golf and then watch golf on my parents' couch all Saturday.
For all of you that got crushed this past week, which I'm sure a lot of you did, it's a great week to take a week off, recalibrate, but if you want our opinions, we have 5 picks that we feel pretty comfortable with. Jack, I'm going to sling it around the other way. Starting with you, Clemson at Syracuse. Clemson is a 27.5-point favorite, 4 touchdowns on the road. Who you got?
It feels like just yesterday this Clemson team went into Syracuse and lost. I don't think that's happening again. I don't think it's going to be even close. Cuse got demolished last week. I don't think they're that bad team that got spanked by Maryland, but I got Clemson minus 27.5.
I think so also. If you watch that game, we got some Terps in the house. Soph's got a little Terp connection, I'm sure he'll chime in on
right
now.
I got
right
a little Cuse connection.
Jack has a Cuse connection.
And you're rocking a Cuse shirt.
I'm literally wearing a Cuse shirt. I'm about to take a massive dump on them.
Yeah, whose shirt is that?
It's just vintage. It's Jack's, obviously. I don't have any clothes. I just
why
take
is
from
so
everybody.
Big?
By the way, I've been... It's
vintage.
Well, that's
it's vintage.
Why he called me, hey, could you bring me a shirt? Hey, I got this really big Cuse shirt.
You have any 9XL? No, I'm kidding. Victor's a
smell
comedian.
If you saw any of that game, Maryland absolutely demolished them. I think they lost, 63-20? So if Maryland can do that to Syracuse, what the hell is Clemson may put up 75?
Yeah, to Vic's point, my sister goes to Maryland, and I frequented a couple of Maryland games. I went to a Maryland-Minnesota Gophers game in
Nail
Maryland.
Nail-biter of the year.
Maryland got smacked, lost by 60. I know that this is a different Maryland team. Jack mentioned that they should be up there, but Maryland, if you lose to Maryland, you're not coming close to beating Clemson. Clemson minus 27.5, I think it's the easiest cover of the week. We're going to swing it back the other way. Florida at Kentucky. Florida is -8. Victor.
You know, I always love these SEC matchups, and we were very high on Florida. You know, after against Miami, we said they did well. They win to Jack's Tennessee Martin daunting matchup last week, 45-0.
Scary place to play.
I don't know what Kentucky's done. This will be their third game in a row at home. They haven't left the state of Kentucky yet. Maybe they built up some momentum, but they played Toledo. Some people say
holy
it's
tough, Toledo,
right? Like Eastern Michigan, you can't make anything. First SEC matchup for Florida on the road is a top 10 team. I like Florida -8, but be cautious and try and stay away from that one.
Vic, I'm right there with you, but give me Florida -8. I think they really proved themselves this week. Kentucky, they've had some cupcake matches.
That's the phrase of the week.
By the way, you know, I am a bit hungry.
Yeah. I always love using food analogies with sports competitiveness.
Look, a couple cupcakes against Eastern Michigan, Toledo. Give me Florida -8. Tread lightly, but not as lightly as you think. I think this team starts to click a bit. Ben, Bunch.
I think that Kentucky +8 is the play, and here's why. I think that, to your point, and I'm just going to keep saying it, the Miami Hurricanes are terrible. They suck. So Florida beating them doesn't mean anything to me. Again, a cupcake match against who'd they play, Vicky said?
University of Tennessee Martin.
Great. I didn't even know that was a school.
I'm so angry.
So I'm happy that they beat them. And Kentucky, unless Josh Allen is just an unbelievable talent, maybe they have a good defensive coordinator over there, and maybe they know what they're doing.
Corbinator.
Maybe they have a defensive coordinator.
Some good corned beef.
A good corned beefinator.
And in case you're wondering, Tennessee Martin's mascot, the Skyhawks. I've never even heard of a sports team having the Skyhawks as a mascot.
What's the difference? Skyhawk?
Well, you know, there are Seahawks. I guess the Seattle Seahawks.
They're maybe also Hawkeyes.
By the way, that's such a good question. What is a Seahawk? Mm-hmm. Hawks in the sea?
By the way,
a Skyhawk makes sense. That's just a hawk.
Isn't like Binghamton the Sea Wolves?
No, they're the Bearcats.
No, there's something that's a Sea Wolf. It might be not Rutgers. It's some other Hofstra Sea Wolves.
I don't know.
Something.
There's also a team called the Red Hawks.
Do we need to check you in somewhere for betting on too many Hofstra games?
Mascots.
Watch out for my Hofstra Sea Wolves.
Mascots are always funny.
The Sea Wolves. But yeah, I take Kentucky +8. I think that Florida's no good. Moving on, Arizona State at Michigan State. Victor, Michigan State is at home -13. Who you got?
Big Ten just looked awesome, so I'll stick with the Big Ten. That's an easy play.
I'm going to go Zona State. They're super dangerous. +13 on the road. Michigan State, always a good defense, but I like Zona State with the points.
I agree with Jack. I like Arizona State +13. I think this is a defensive game. Arizona State's defense has been pretty good.
So Coach Herm, Coach Edwards has that team looking good.
Yeah, they look good. Throwing it back around. Iowa at Iowa State. God, you'd love to be living in Iowa. This is the game they live for. It's basically a pick 'em. Jack, who you got winning?
It's fantastic. You got the Hawkeyes. You got the Cyclones. I like the Hawkeyes. Tight end you after Miami. They've looked good at number 19. I like them, but it's going to be a really close one.
Vic, Iowa, Iowa State.
Vic, I definitely agree it's a close one. This is the battle for the Cyhawk trophy, if anyone wants to know. College football games throughout the year, the rivalry games, they play for random trophies. This is one. It's
What's
a picture.
What's a Cyhawk?
It's Cyhawk rivalry.
Cyclone Hawkeye.
Literally like a hyphenated.
I understand.
It's just your battle. And the team at the end like wins like a trophy and they all celebrate.
And they're like, yeah, we did it. Iowa's ours.
But like it means absolutely nothing. Like it'll sit in the school's like trophy case.
Trophy case.
I think Iowa takes care of business. They move to 3-0. Again, advantage Big Ten here over the Big 12. Soph, what do you got?
You got to take the home team. I'm sorry. Like, the student section's going to be going wild. I'm sure that they're saving a lot of tickets for the Iowa kids, too, but I'm going to go Cyclones.
Do it for the
Cyclones.
Kids.
I'm going to go Cyclones for the kids. I'm doing it for the kids. Last one on our list, Ohio State at Indiana. Ohio State is a little more than a 2-touchdown favorite. Victor, who you got?
I'm going to say that Ohio State goes back to that form we saw in week one where they weren't as sharp, and I'm just going to attribute that to this being their first road game this season. They're going to Indiana. First conference game, I say to Indiana, 14 and a half, or is it 15?
15.
Plus 15, Hoosiers at home. I'm not going to say upset. Don't sprinkle on the money line. Save your cash. Just take the points. Hoosiers.
Vic, that did not sound too confident, but I like the Hoosiers as well.
Okay, I convince you.
Hoosiers.
Bloomington. Hoosiers. They're 2-0. They're putting up some points. I think this is going to be one of those bad beats for the Buckeyes, though. I think the Buckeyes will lead the entire game, and I think Indiana, with those rowdy, drunk fans, talk about the student section. That place gets lit. I just think they score a late one, but I think they cover. Give me the Hoosiers with the points.
I think you both are absolutely insane. I think that Ohio State wins this game by at least 3 touchdowns. I don't even think it's close. If you watched any of the Ohio State game last week where they played a really good defense in, it's escaping me.
It's those guys.
Cincinnati. Yeah. Cincinnati Bearcats have a really, really, really good defense.
By the way, Cincinnati gave up 42 last week.
They lost 42 to nothing.
Yeah.
I'm saying Ohio State.
Cincinnati has a really good defense compared to their offense.
They had a really good defense. I just think that Ohio State's offense is amazing, as it is every year, and that this is not that close.
I know we're trying to make this one quick, but I do think on the road, first game on the road, in conference, it's a little tough.
Definitely.
That's why we're all entitled to our opinions. That's why we have a round table. Yeah. You said your opinion.
By the way, today it's
rectangular. You're trying to convince me.
I am.
This is not a pitch.
Could I make one promise?
You can.
Miami gets their first win under Manny Diaz this week.
All right, baby.
Bethune-Cookman, I'm looking at you. Yeah. You're dead, baby. Woo!
Who are they playing?
Bethune-Cookman.
Okay. I would assume that they would beat Bethune-Cookman.
It's your good old-fashioned minus 56 and a half.
Yeah, by the way,
That's a school. By the way, I'm sorry. For everyone listening, the bet of the week, Bethune-Cookman plus 56 and a half. I don't care if Miami is playing a middle school team. You do not lay 57 points.
No, we're laying 41. The over-under is 56. But last
year's
year,
past, it's been like 65.
Last year, I believe we beat them 71-3.
But they didn't cover because the spread was 69. And it was something
Miami
absurd.
Doesn't cover. Miami doesn't cover. That's
we will this week. We're coming for you. Bethune-Cookman, watch your ass. We're coming for it.
What is it, Bethuka?
Bethune-Cookman.
And they have a normal
Wildcats.
Yeah, see, they get a normal mascot. they're like, okay, Kentucky does a Wildcat. We'll do a Wildcat.
Where is Bethune-Cookman?
It's in North Florida, I believe. Yeah. We get them every year. It's that fun matchup where we get to run train
get
on,
to
a bunch
kill
of, on a bunch yeah. of yeshiva boys.
Wow, poor kids. Poor kids. Let's switch gears a bit. We've spoken about a lot of football, but there was some tennis going on this weekend. The U.S. Open in New York. I went to a couple of matches. What can I say? I do love tennis. I want to start with Serena Williams loses to Andreescu. Any thoughts? It's open to the floor. Jack, you look like you have something to say.
I mean, I wasn't that upset. I find tennis, golf to be like those very patriotic and nationalistic sports. I think Serena has kind of rubbed me the wrong way for last year's match against Osaka. Bianca Andreescu, the 19-year-old Canadian. It's just a really good story. I mean, Serena's the best to ever do it, but not mad. There's some young talent on the way. Andreescu, Coco Gauff. The name's escaping me, but Gauff's doubles partner. Also really good. I mean, tennis is in a good place.
Yeah, I mean, Serena Williams, to me, is the LeBron James of tennis.
Wow, I hate her.
I don't like her anymore. I think that they are both unbelievable, but they cry. Like, it's just, you don't complain like that in tennis. You lose. And we've seen this. I'm shocked that she didn't throw a fit when she lost to Andreescu, and it's probably because she got her ass handed to her in two sets. All the respect in the world for Serena Williams, but I don't know. I just don't think that she's the best teammate
she's definitely the most dominant women's tennis player ever.
Yep.
She is double the age of Andreescu, though. It was sort of funny, and you're watching this young girl who's not even allowed to legally drink in this country. Of course, she can in Canada.
You done some time up north, huh?
She's actually from the same place as R.J. Barrett, Mississauga, which is right outside of Ontario, I believe.
Good for you.
This is in Canada. Canada representing.
You do a lot of stalking?
I was actually watching with someone who's from Toronto. We were going crazy.
Vic does his fair share of skiing, right? Yeah. Snowshoeing. Snowshoeing.
Cross country is what they call it.
No, snowshoeing is literally.
What an exciting match. Andreescu's absolutely dominating. Like, I've never even seen someone absolutely dominate. Serena, she up 5-1 in the second set, battles back. I was watching. Everybody was saying, well, now that she's brought it back to 5-5, Andreescu's done. She missed her chance. She closed the door on Serena, wins in straight sets. You know, I hope this girl can go really far. It's awesome. I mean, if you can beat Serena in the U.S. Open New York on a Saturday afternoon where everybody always cheers for Serena. I don't even think she's from New York. Is she even from New York? Either way,
Florida.
It doesn't matter.
I believe she's from Florida, yeah, now lives in New York.
They made her feel like it was her hometown, like, reunion or something every time she's here. People can't get enough of Serena. You can handle that.
It's the LeBron effect. It's the same thing. I'm just saying these are like A-plus talents, and people love them. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Serena's undisputed best women's tennis player of all time. Nadal. I'd like to talk about Nadal. Nadal played, I'm going to butcher his name, Medvedev. Thank you. Nadal played Medvedev, went 5 sets. Nadal won. I think that my question should be, we all say Federer is the undisputed GOAT. We love Roger Federer. This is, I think Nadal is one Grand Slam shy of Federer at this point. How much respect do we need to now give to Rafa Nadal, and are we not giving enough?
I think the respect has always been there.
It's always been like a clay hard court thing, you know?
But this is also like, I remember in high school, it was always like, you know, you had Kobe, LeBron, and then it was like, are you a Rafa guy, are you a Federer guy? Like, and just like who you were. And you sort of went with one over the other. And then it was like every time Wimbledon, Federer would win, but then you'd have the French Open, and that's where Nadal could never lose. He's unbelievable on clay courts. Then like they'd split the Australian Open, and then like somehow one of them or none of them always got injured. We're yet to see a Nadal Federer US Open final, which we got robbed of this year again. Federer is sort of on the outs with Serena as the top men's, top women's. I think Federer just light years, just, I don't know, like he has more numbers. Granted, because Nadal always got hurt. I know there's always that debate of, you know, it's like sort of the same with Ken Griffey Jr. Like if he was healthy, like would have been best, no question.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. The respect is there for Nadal, though. I still give the nod to Federer, the classiest of them all.
I think, let me jump in quickly. I think that Nadal, to your point, he was always injured. He's not injured right now, and he doesn't look like he's getting injured anytime soon. He looked so good in that match, and I think that he's going to play for longer than Federer, and I think that Nadal will end up, in my opinion, being the greatest tennis player of all time. You brought up high school, that it was always a Federer-Nadal. It was also always people would chirp in our ears as not the biggest tennis players. You'd always hear, the biggest tennis fans, you'd always hear, Nadal is great on clay. It was always Nadal crushes clay. When he gets to a hard court, he's not as good. He just won on a hard court. I mean, he wins everywhere. And when I watch him play, he's just so dominant. Not that Federer isn't. I think that Rafa Nadal is really incredible.
He is, and he's also 5 years younger than Federer. So that has to be taken into account. And we do say Rafa, you know, the clay king, like, let's see him do it elsewhere. He's got 4 U.S. Open championships, two at Wimbledon. I mean, I like the call that he will end up with more Grand Slams than Federer, but I just think Federer is so dominant, and I think a couple things had to go the right way this year for Nadal. Djokovic wasn't perfectly healthy. I would have liked to see that, but last night's was an all-time classic. I really like that he didn't pick his ass as many times as I saw. Is he a classic ass picker?
He picks his ass every routine.
But once you see this, you can't unsee it. So it almost felt like I had unseen it last night because he wasn't doing it. I think he cut it out, but which is weird because these guys are so much in a routine and so cerebral that I feel like somehow I did unsee it. But last night was an all-time classic. I think this is one of the greatest comps. You know, like it could go both ways. I think Federer's better, but Nadal will end up higher in the. I mean, I just think he's gonna have more Grand Slams. He'll be around longer, and I think a lot of that is age, longevity, and but yeah, we'll see what happens.
To close up, I want to talk quickly about the FIBA World Cup. We are in the quarterfinals here. U.S. plays France. I'll quickly tell you. We have Argentina, Serbia, Spain, Poland. What a matchup. U.S., France, and Australia, Czech Republic. I just want to quickly touch on USA, France.
Wednesday.
It's this. I mean, I think they're all on Wednesday. No, some are. Two of them are tomorrow. Two are Wednesday. USA, France. Who you got?
I got USA. Both of these teams have actually slid by a couple nail biters. France won a real late one 2 games ago, and USA beat Greece but slid by Austria earlier. Familiar faces on this France team I'll just get to. Frank the Prince, Nil Aquino, Rudy Gobert, Nick Batum, Evan Fournier. These are all, outside of Frank Nil Aquino, are solid NBA players. I still have USA, but I think it's going to be by high single digits. I think they keep this one close.
Vic, you?
Yeah, you sort of want it to be close. I mean, obviously, we're, you know, from America. We're not rooting.
Spy!
We're not rooting Spy. For them to lose.
All of a sudden, he watches one game with somebody from Montreal, and he's rooting for France.
That
good French, man?
It was pretty good. You watch Instagram stories from Morocco once, you hear French, and now you're rooting for them.
All of a
Fuck
sudden, you want France?
With our cigarettes and our baguettes. Give me some butter to put on my bread. No, I mean, it wanted to be a close game. Although, can you finally watch these games?
No, I was just going to say, you want to be a close game. It's at 7 in the morning.
But, like, is it finally available to watch? 7, I actually would
that
be
that and Kobe's detail.
Like, I want to be able to watch this team. Like, it is fun. Coach Popovich always running the show. You got Kemba. He's playing really great. Harrison Barnes playing very well. Donovan Mitchell, of course, always fun to watch. Which team is Jokic on? Is he Czech Republic? I think so. Jokic?
Czech Republic?
I know they have a guy named Jokic. They have another guy named Jovic. You had Jokic and Jovic.
Djokovic sometimes. I think it's Serbia, by the way.
It is Jokic. Serbia? Jovic. But either way, both of them are there. So there's still be some fun town watching. You said there are a bunch
Bogdanovic.
Of guys from from the NBA that are on these teams. And as you saw with that Australia exhibition where we lost, thank God that was exhibition. You know, sort of any one player could take over this game. Sort of happy Giannis is out because when he takes over, get out of the way.
I'm going with the upset. Go USA, go USA. But I think that France beats the U.S.
Wow. Okay.
I think that when you – and that's not my heart. That's just my prediction. I think that when you get into international waters and you start talking about the guys like you mentioned, like the Rudy Goberts and the Nicholas Batums. Nicholas Batum plays like the guy that the Hornets thought he would be when he's
when they gave him all that money.
Yeah.
$108 million.
Yeah, literally. He's on a $30 million a year contract, something like that. And he just plays well in international matchups. The USA team is not amazing.
It's just raw. It's a bunch of young guys that have never been there.
Yeah. And I just think that France has the length and the defense to be able to frustrate a USA team. Frank Nil Aquino literally belongs under my shoe in the NBA, but he still has a wingspan of 7'2" and maybe can frustrate someone.
Does he even start on this France team? I don't even think he does.
Frank Nil Aquino can suck my Johnson. Hey, I'm not talking too much about the Knicks, but fuck you!
He's putting in some real work this summer. I'm excited to see what he brings for the Knicks this year. All right,
fourth pick.
All right, let's go.
Who was drafted?
It was eighth. You always jump him into like top five. It was still top ten.
Oh, he was eighth. I'm
it
sorry.
It was eighth.
It was eighth.
It was all eighth.
Right. Well, whatever.
Still bad.
Yeah, Nil Aquino. Jesus Christ. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Next episode, remember Thursday, NFL Schwitz Week 2. We're going to do a deep dive into the NFL. It's going to be a lot of fun. As always, follow us on Instagram at The Schwitz. Please join the Schwitzers group on Facebook. We release things like our tailgate, which we're throwing, details to come. We have a survivor pool in there. We talk about fantasy. Just a great place to be, a great home for Schwitzers. Anybody that loves the podcast should certainly be in it. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. Super important. We'd be very thankful if you did. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at V Web.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.